Amen. How many of you glad to be a soldier tonight? How many of you glad you're enjoying this fight? Amen. I like to give the devil a black eye, don't you? Now, he whips me sometimes too. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got a daddy that's a captain that has never tasted defeat. And he encouraged me when I get a black eye, he encouraged you get back up and get in that fight. You're a soldier of the cross. Look at somebody and say, we're soldiers of the cross tonight. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in church on Saturday night? What a privilege it is. All of you that stayed over to visit with us, or if you're here for the service, we certainly want to say we're glad to have you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Pinky Phillips wants us to remember Sister Phyllis in prayer. Her sugar is real bad, and we're just trusting the Lord for her healing. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. Brother Larry Elliott sends this in. Just wanted to give another testimony of how the Lord moved on my health this past weekend. I've not been able to stay through the services very often at all. I've showed up at church only to have to leave right after the music because I didn't have the strength to stay for the whole service. My condition seemed worse than before surgery, and I felt just like giving up on life. I also have had to rest my right arm due to the severe wrist pain in my right hand. Much of the time I would just play with my left hand and rest the right. But during the end of the service on Sunday morning, I was resting my right hand, and a dear Christian soldier in the audience felt led to pray for me while I was playing. I did not know this at the time, and I played the rest of the service. Immediately something rushed over me, and I pulled my hand up and played the rest of the service without a bit of pain. Was able to stay through Wednesday night as well without any pain. By His grace, I'm here tonight again playing with both hands.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thanking the Lord for His grace and for those who obey His voice. So praise the Lord for that testimony tonight. Brother Randy Walton wants us to pray for a family, the family of Robbie Long, who passed away today. So let's certainly remember those folks in prayer. Sister Rachel Estep says that Larry Irwin requests prayer, suffering from fourth stage cancer. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Homer Longoria's daughter, Deanna, requested to be in our church prayer list. She wants to be an overcomer. God's able to give her that desire tonight. We believe that. And this is Sister Linda Krager sends us in. We had the church pray. We begin to pray for Wayne Barker would find a job, and he got it, and they want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Brother Donnie Cox, Brother Larry Keplinger would like to request prayer for their cousin Steve Tolley, who has stage 4 throat cancer. Most importantly, pray for his salvation. Thank you, and may God bless. So we got a lot to pray about tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we're just so honored that the Lord would grace us with His presence. Without the presence of the Lord, there's not much to live for. But with His presence, even in Satan's Eden, it's a whole lot of living to do with His presence in our lives. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother David, I want you to come tonight. Brother David and his family have been gone quite a bit. And I believe he's leaving tonight after the service, going to Brother Joseph Hammy's. But he wanted to be in this service tonight. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? We love you, brother.
Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our hearts if you would. Heavenly Father, what a great atmosphere in this place tonight. Lord, expectations in the building. And your prophet says that when we expect, we'll get exactly what we expect. Lord, we're expecting great things to happen, Lord. Would you just come and have liberty in this place tonight? Come and have your way, Lord. Speak to every heart. Lord, for the needs that's been written down tonight and turned in, Lord, we just want to lay them in your hands, believing, Lord, that all things are possible if we could just only believe tonight. And Lord, we do believe. We believe the promises of your word. We know that they are true tonight. And Lord, we just come to take it your way, Lord, Lord, and to be able to stand here tonight, Lord, as your children, we come to call you on the scene and ask that you would move. Lord, we come in this late hour, Lord, in this evil time, we've come to push back against the walls that would encroach around us tonight. Lord, we come to stand, Lord, and we ask now that, Lord, you would just have your way in this place. Touch every life in this place, that when we leave this building, we leave here, dear God, marching in order. Lord, may we leave here with victory tonight. May there be victory in the house of God, we pray. Anoint our brother tonight, we ask you, Lord. May you touch him, Lord, in a special way to speak to your bride in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. As I said a few minutes ago, all of our visitors, we're certainly honored to have you in our midst tonight. All those that are streaming this service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement tonight. We want to welcome some folks to the service. Brother Stacy Goodbread and his wife and family visiting from Florida. Where would they be tonight? Where would you be? Raise your hand. We're right back here. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Also, another family from St. Augustine, Florida, visiting tonight. Brother Duff is here. He's going to be giving us a song just in a few minutes. I know you're looking forward to that. Somebody said Brother Belton might be here tonight. They were here last night. Did he go back? Anybody know, Brother, if Brother David Belton is here tonight? They went back. Okay, they went back, so somebody had requested that he sing. But we're going to sing before Brother Duff sings tonight. We're going to worship the Lord, like Brother David said in his prayer, just a tremendous atmosphere in our building tonight. We just want to worship the Lord and give this time unto Him. And I know He's got something good for us, don't you? Let's sing a little song tonight. We've wore it out, but I'm so glad that something keeps holding me. Aren't you glad that something keeps holding you? It's the Lord. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him.
The trials of this world were getting closer. Say
An on time. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe that with all your heart? He's an on-time God. I'm going to let you be seated tonight as Brother Duff gets ready to come. And if he'll come at this time to sing for us tonight. Let me mention our pastor, Brother Donnie, has a new CD that he recorded just a few weeks back. That is available over in the library. If you'd like to pick one of those up, it'll be a real blessing in your home. I'm certain of that. So remember that if you want to pick one of those up tonight. I want you to give Brother Duff a real nice hand tonight as he gets ready to sing. Amen. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Somebody say, God bless Brother Duff. God bless you, our brother. We appreciate you.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Amen. I hope you all know this this song that we want to try to do. It says, you are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. And right now in the good times and bad, you're still on your throne and you're God alone. Amen. It says, you are not a God created by human hands, and you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. It said, you are not a God created by human hands, and you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne because you are God alone. Come on, I said you are God alone. And from before time began, hey, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne because you are God alone. Listen, you're the only God whose power none can contend. And you're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. Hey, you are God alone from before time began. Come on, you are on your throne. Hallelujah. Yeah, and right now, in the good times and bad, come on, say you are on your throne. Because, come on, everybody, say you are God alone from before time began. Unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. Hey, you're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, that's what you are. Come on, say it again. You're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, Lord, that's what you are. One more time. Unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable. Oh, that's what you are. Hey, you are God alone from before time began. Yes, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
Christ, you are God alone. Hey, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. 'Cause you are God alone. One more time. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. Because you are God alone. Hallelujah.
Amen. I don't believe he's done singing that. Do you? You sung just enough of that to make us mad. You need to sing a little bit more of that tonight. How many of you believe you're not alone? You are not alone. Amen. Let me make this quick announcement as he gets ready to sing some more of that. There's a blue Toyota Corolla, North Carolina license plate. You need to move your vehicle. It's in a way somewhere. If you've got an Appalachian State license plate on it, if that's your vehicle, could you just please move that car at this time? Give this guy another hand as he sings some more of that.
Come on, say, you're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Come on. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You know what? If he's in you, that makes you unchangeable. You know what else you are? You're unshakable. Hallelujah. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. That's what you are tonight. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. From before time began, hey, you are on your throne because you are God. Oh, and right now, in the good times and bad, hey, you are on your throne. Come on, sing. Everybody, one more time. God alone, from before time began, yes, you are on your throne. Hey, you are God alone. Yeah, and right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne because you are God alone. I said, right now, in the good times and bad, oh, you are on your throne because right now, right now, right now, and right now, in the good times and bad. Times and bad, you are on your throne because you are God alone. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a few moments. We've got a baby to dedicate to the Lord tonight. We want to say we appreciate each of our visitors that are here with us.
Amen.
Thank you for coming up to be with us. Our time of fellowship last night and our food and all that sort of thing. But we're grateful you could stay over and visit in our gates and have church with us too.
Amen.
Turkey and ham and beans and maters and taters is all necessary. But it ain't nothing like this right here, is it?
Bring them in. of sin, bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus.
They waited till he's nearly half grown. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you tonight, Lord, how grateful we are for the gift of life. Always marvel to think of how many millions of babies have been killed since our Supreme Court made its ruling, of which they will have to answer to you at that day for. How grateful we are for parents who still desire to bring children into the earth, to be able to raise them in the admonition of God. Lord, not only to give them life, but to be able to bring them back to you and to let their lives be dedicated to your cause and your purpose. For this we are not ashamed of the gospel which you've given to us. Lord, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'd keep this little young man. We don't know how long it'll be. Maybe he'll be 10, 12, maybe 20, maybe 50. But Lord, whenever it would be that his heart would be able to know right from wrong, move upon him, Lord, so be able to surrender his life to you. Keep him from the evils and the darkness of this day, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray for his mother. May the fifth gospel be able to ring out in his life. Heavenly Father, may he be raised and reared in a way that would bring honor and glory to God. We dedicate his life to you tonight, Father. May you bless his father, his mother, his little sister. Give them peace and happiness. Keep them in their home, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand up. I want to say how much I enjoy being able to speak to the different folks. It was at the Fall Fest last night. I didn't make it around to everybody, and I apologize for that. I enjoyed speaking to various of you ones that was there, and it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to be together with God's people, isn't it? Amen. Saw Brother John Linichek there last night, and he said that him and Sister Meredith got engaged on the way up here. So I thought, well, that's quite a... I trust you've already been engaged to the Lord Jesus. And we're going to a marriage supper after a while. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, if you would, verse 2. For those of you that are visiting with us, we've been looking at the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus for a little while here at the church, and how there's different categories and groups in that will that he gives to them their portion. There's a bride, of course, foolish virgin, 144,000. The people of Matthew 25:41, the different groups that will come up that day, and will answer to God. Tonight we'd like to look at another parable by the help of the Lord. You're familiar with this, I know. Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's gathered here with us. We thank you for each of the visitors, Lord, that have come up to have a little time with us, Lord. I just, what a glorious time it is. And we can gather together. Lord, I was thinking about it last night and again today. Lord, different brothers and sisters and ministers and saints come up just to have food and fellowship with us and stay over for the weekend, those that could. I thought, what a wonderful time it'll be when this life is finished and we all get to come up to your house. Lord, some leaving in the morning, Brother Jack and his wife leaving out so they can be in church tomorrow in Florida, and different ones having to leave, and some leave tomorrow afternoon, some Monday, some had to leave last night. It makes our hearts sad. But yet we know that there's coming a time when we'll never have to separate again. We long for that day, Lord Jesus. May there not be a one of us that'll be missing at that time, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm sure you notice by reading these verses of Scripture, the bride is actually not brought in view in this parable. But it is concerning the king's sons, son rather, the servants, and also the guest, those that are going to come or be invited to the marriage feast or marriage supper. Where is the bride? How can you have a wedding without a bride? How can you have a marriage feast without a bride? Now, why doesn't Jesus give us a picture of the bride? You see, he chose several different parables in order to reveal the categories that was in his will, and never mentioned the bride. Matthew 25, of course, is another one when he talks about the 10 virgins. And actually, that's a thing taken from the Middle Eastern custom of a wedding. And yet you see the wise, you see the foolish. And we know that we can learn from these parables, even though our identity is not fully disclosed. So the bride here is in secret. The bride's identity is not actually revealed by the king's son. But we know she's there. She has to be for there to be a true wedding. Now, listen to this in verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. But when you look at this, you realize the word marriage is not marriage ceremony, but it's marriage feast. So this is not that they're invited to the ceremony, because this would be contrary to the way that they would have done it this time. But the wedding feast would have normally been 7 days. Now that was for an average person. So a king sometimes would do it 7, 10, sometimes even longer than that. But now Jesus is taking the parallel of this natural marriage and showing a spiritual marriage that's going to go on as well. So the feast would have lasted for 7 days. And the guests are invited to come to these 7 days, or as we would look at it, 7 Gentile dispensations of church ages, that there would be a bidding that would go on in each of these 7 days. Now in this, again, notice Jesus doesn't mention anything about the bride. Look in verse 3. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Now this was a Jewish custom that the guests would receive two invitations. One of them was the initial one, which would tell them that the bride and the groom had become engaged or betrothed. Then it would give them about the time frame when they were going to have the marriage supper. And then about the day of the wedding feast, or sometime times the day before, but it was always customary to give them two invitations. So initially they would get one, and they would give them a target to date, whether they're planning on this certain day, on this certain day, so they could make arrangements. Now in making the arrangements, they are acknowledging that they are the recipients of the wedding invitation. Now in between this time, of course, important things could come up, sickness, death, various things which would cause them to make them unable to go. Now what's the way Jesus plays exactly on the current tradition of that time? So he says that they come and let them know, those that were bidden. They were previously already bidden, and they had accepted or acknowledged the invitation. Now he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden. So they were already called and had acknowledged that they would come to the marriage supper. And notice what they do, how they respond. They would not come.
So here it is, the second time now that they have responded. The first one was sent out. Then they acknowledge, yes, we'll plan on being there. We will be there. And then the second go-around comes, and they come, and they said, no, we're not going. Now, I want you to notice how that Jesus deals with the people in this parable, in that they do not give one excuse. There is not one reason. My mother died. My father passed away. I simply cannot come. Their initial response to this is they would not come. So here they refuse. Now keep in mind, this is not the bride. The bride don't come by man's invitation. The bride was called by God before the foundation of the world. Notice now we're dealing with the guests. Now this is a parable that reflects two dispensations, in that it reflects the Jewish dispensation initially, and then as it will close out, it will also reflect the Gentile dispensation as they will turn from the Jews to the Gentiles. Now notice there again in verse 3, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the feast, and they would not come. Now the prophets of old, under the commandment of God, had been forewarning and letting the Jews know that the time was coming when there was going to be a change in their covenant or their dispensation. John the Baptist comes and he tells them also, he's here, he's here. Behold the Lamb of God, he's here. Then the Lord Jesus himself, at the very end of that dispensation, also does the same thing. So the Jews have been bidden again, and what do? They simply turn down the invitation to come to the feast. Now remember, the Jews as a whole will not be accepted as the bride. But there will be individuals in the Jews that can be accepted, but this is now a dispensational change to where it's fixing to change from God dealing with one nationality to God dealing with every race, every nation, all over the entire world. And he will pull from the Gentiles a people for his namesake. But in that, there will also be Jews. Now the Jews are receiving their call as the initial stages of the Gentile dispensation is being set in. Now watch, they would not come. You imagine, what was it that moved upon their hearts? Now the Lord Jesus, we know, used parables many times to convey a great story. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in the contents of this story shows us many, many things. It shows us the deity of God, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, also the identification of the bride being called by God before the foundation of the world. It also shows us the leniency and the mercy of God dealing with those who are not his elect. Now these guests that are being invited are not, their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are Book of Life people. They are whosoever will people. They are John 3:16 type of people, but they are not the elect. But even in that, the mercy of God deals with them in such compassion that he would initially give them the call whenever they were bidden, and then he would send the servants forth and they would come, and then again he would send more servants forth and offer to them again the mercy of God and say, come on to the wedding. But you know what they did, of course, because you're Bible readers. Now notice this, how could they do this sort of thing? It was the stubbornness of their own religious teachers that had been able to bring and project this type of attitude. I love the way Brother Ram deals with this. He said, now the attributes that was in him so that made it display something to worship him. The first thing he made was angelic beings, and they worshiped him. They could not fall. Then he put man in flesh, and he fell by free moral agency. The very thing that many of you worship is the very thing that caused the fall of man. He fell by free moral agency, given the right to choose right and wrong. Now the angels, of course, of God, they did not fall and could not fall. But man was placed on this basis. And the Jews were on this basis. They could accept or reject. And they, by their own choice, absolutely rejected. Now when they do reject, they do it in such a way that they give no excuse, no legitimate cause. They give no real reason that is justifiable. temple so that the messengers can in turn take this back to the king, because this is the final bidding. The bride and the groom are already together in this stage, and they're already together, and the marriage supper is set. It was actually a noon type meal that would begin around noon and go up into the evening and would last for, as I said, 7 to 10 days. Now here they are not giving any reason whatsoever, so the calves have been fat and then they've been killed. The bread has been prepared. The wine has been labored for. The guests have already, they've got their name, Rabbi so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. They'll be sitting here and here and here. The tables are already there. Everything has already been prepared. And what do? They flat refuse to come. And they have no legitimate excuse that will be acceptable in the eyes of God. Now all of you know as well as I do that one day when people stand before God and they give their excuses for not serving Him, for not going to church, for not living right, it will be worthless. Absolutely worthless. The excuses that you are using to stay out of church, the excuses you are using to not get the Holy Ghost, it will amount to nothing at the day of judgment. All of our excuses, all of our shortcomings, friend, let's get rid of them right now. Let's not wait and say, oh God, my mama, my daddy, the preacher, this, that, and other. They will not stand. Let's get rid of them. And let's move on for whatever is hindering us. Let's let the fire of God destroy our excuses. Oh my. They had no reasons, no excuses, and they were so bold and blatant about this and their approach that they made no apologies. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that we cannot come. This come up and that came up, and I'm really sorry. I know that we told him we would be there. They are so defiant in this plea that they offer no. I don't care. What if God don't take this? Fine. I don't care whether God wants it or not. Oh my. Their refusal is an insult to the king. And to the king's son, to the bride, and to the servants that are sent to let them know the hour has arrived. Now watch what he does in verse 4, the compound mercy of God. Again, he sent forth other servants. Now here we come to a dispensational change. To where that the prophets, John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, had now been dealing with the people, and now there are other servants that are going to move into a different dispensation. This, of course, is apostolic preachers. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. You see, the prophets could not say this part of the message. John the Baptist could not say, all things are ready, and the lamb was killed, and the ox was killed. Praise the Lord. But now, with the dispensation of the gospel beginning, then the apostolic gospel preachers could say, the promises are made manifest. The atonement is here. The redemption of our sins. The whole thing is ready. The lamb has been killed. And now what do? Sent forth other servants saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage or the feast. My oxen. Everything's ready. All things you can be fully atoned for. Notice in John 6:50, Jesus said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. He here standing speaking prophetically of the time when he will die. But after this change now in verse 4, the gospel preachers are saying he don't have to die again. He's already done it. The price has been paid. Notice again in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are leaven. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Oh, glory. Let us keep the feast. Do you understand what God has been doing for 7 church ages? For 2,000 years, God has been setting a feast. A marriage feast in every church age. It's going on right now. As a matter of fact, it's going on tonight. Praise the Lord. And where's the bride in all this? We're not even dealing with the bride. These are guests. I'm not a guest at the wedding. I'm the reason there is one. If you're the bride, you are not a guest. Praise the Lord. You are not a guest. You are part of the very reason that there is a wedding. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Notice now in verse 5, the response. So his mercy extends to them other servants, and they made light of it. Now they neglect the ministry of the gospel, which compounds their judgment and condemnation. They made light of it and went. Notice whose way? This is your free moral agency. That's what it does for you. Come on, be honest. What's got you in the most trouble? The sovereignty of God or your free moral agency? My free moral agency's got me the office mess ever was. It's election that got me out. My will got me in all kinds of mess, and election got me out. Abraham's free moral agency got him down the land of Egypt. God's election called him out. Come on, Abraham's free moral agency took him down to the Philistine country. God's election got him out. Adam's free moral agency sold me to sin, but God's election gave me a new birth of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm and another to his merchandise. Now, is it wrong to have a farm? If you're a businessman, is it wrong to sell your goods? No, not unless you put it in front of the gospel call. What did they do? They undervalued. They look at what God gave them and compared to their farm, they don't see it as a loss. Oh God, have mercy. Notice in verse 6, Jesus says, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now this time they are angry. The preacher's now really bringing it right down on their hide, boy, and burning them up. And they get mad. It's amazing how the folks sitting in church, one group gets mad, other group gets glad. Hearing the very same things to the same preacher, and boy, some of them leave mad on a hornet, and some of them leaving, they're about sailing through the building, and they leave. You're saying, what in the world happens? Well, you look at the same categories that divided here, that some of them, they just went to the farm and some went over to the merchandise, but there was a remnant of them that didn't do that, but what they done, they got so angry at the messengers themselves. Now, they didn't say, just leave me alone, go on about your own business, I don't want nothing to do with this sort of thing, but they begin to get this attitude on them. Oh my. And notice what they done. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So this time they don't just reject the invitation or to renew the invitation, but now they come out of with this anger and they are so upset at these preachers. Now listen to verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. You see, he who insults or assails a king's messenger does so to the king himself. These folks who call him Brother Branham a liar and saying the message is this, that, and the other, you're not saying that about William Branham. You're saying that about Almighty God's spokesman. Amen. They wasn't saying that about John the Baptist or Peter or James or John or Bartholomew. They were saying that about God. Amen. May I go on? If you say that against your pastor, you're not saying against your pastor, you're saying it about God. Amen. That's right. It is God moving on gifts in order to renew your invitation. Now you realize that each of us, as I said, the bride is not in this true identity, but each of us can take from the parallel of this parable and be able to realize that we must watch ourselves, even though we are bride, even though we believe we are the elect of God. But we must watch our flesh because it's not converted. It's not born again. It is your enemy. You cannot trust your flesh. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Your flesh is an animal and you cannot trust it. Don't think you can play with sin. Oh, I've got it under control. No, you cannot do that. You must put it under your feet and let let the Holy Ghost in you make you an overcomer. We don't want to be survivors of Laodicea. We want to be overcomers. Hallelujah. We do not let sin control us, but we dominate sin. Oh my. There's no way they could have known the content of verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies under the commandership of Titus Vespasian. Jesus is prophesying of the destruction of Jerusalem. This is serious stuff, friends. Notice what he does. He was wroth and he sent forth his armies and destroyed. You say, Brother Donnie, he would call the Roman army his army? Simply as a tool to execute his divine wrath. As he did the Babylonians, as he did the Assyrians, right? Exactly. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5, the Assyrians are called the rod of his anger. So it was his armies. Now listen to me. Whether or not you want to accept this, communism, as much as the world hates it, it has been raised up by God to destroy the church. You didn't say amen to that. Well, that's the truth anyhow. It's the truth. You say as vile and corrupt as it is, God will use communism to destroy the Church of Rome. Because of why? Because of how she has treated your brothers and sisters. Oh, God, help us. Notice what Jesus says, that he will send forth his armies and destroy those murderers and burn up their city. Notice what a parallel. Jesus actually calls this their city. This had been called the city of God for centuries. How is it now just their city?
Lord have mercy.
Lord, children, do you realize, may God help us that we as the message people don't never get to a place that God calls our gatherings. May we never get to a place that we turn this message into a denominational system and God does the same thing with us that he done with them. Oh, God, help us. Jerusalem, according to Psalms 48:2, according even to Matthew 5:34, listen, Jesus said, I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Verse 35, nor by the earth, it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. But now we move from this chapter down a few chapters and something has happened. Something has happened between this chapter and when we read our parable. What has happened? The king has said, this is no longer my city. It's yours. I don't want my faith to be my faith. I don't want our church to be our church. Come on. I don't want our message just to belong to us. We want it to belong to God. I want God to dominate my faith, my life, our church. Come on, children. Oh, hallelujah. As long as he's got it, it'll be kept safe. If he turns it over to me and you, we'll make a mess out of it. What changed from being the city of the great king to being their city? Well, they threw him out to stone him for one thing. They called him Beelzebub. They called him devil. They called him a liar. They said he was born of fornication. All these events, they relinquished the ownership of the city to God. Now God says it's yours. Remember Paul, whenever he talked about being converted, he said, I profited in the Jews' religion. Isn't that amazing? How could that man call what he did the Jews' religion? At one time, that was God's commandments. Amen. but now it had changed from being the commandments of God to the Jews' religion. Can't you see where the church world stands? Can't you see why they've got their programs and their dogmas and their preachers and their bishops and their overseers? Do you see what I'm saying? At one time there was a move of God in the Lutheran church. At one time there was a move of God in the Methodist church and the Pentecostal church. Oh God, may it not be said about us. At one time there was a move in the Message. At one time there was a move at Happy Valley. At one time there was a move in Donnie Reagan. But may it be said, there is a move in Donnie Reagan. There is a move in West. There is a move in you. There is a move in Happy Valley. There is a move in the end time message. Why, God is among us. You imagine a couple of days after Jesus says this. Matthew 23:38, he tells them, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The temple of God. Now it's their city and their house. Oh God. Why? They refuse to feast on the word. Now, look, friend, surely we've all been around the message long enough now to know. You can't make yourself bride no more than you can make yourself a plant. God done that. If you're bride, God chose you. But even if you're not bride, you don't have to be lost if you don't want to. God's made a way for you. You can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, not bride, saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be, not bride. Well, if I ain't bride, I ain't doing nothing. I don't feel that way. If I ain't bride, I'm still going to be there. I believe I am bride, but if I'm foolish virgin, whatever I'm supposed to be, I'm going to be there. Look for me. If I live the farthest out from the city, you're going to hear me squalling when I come in town. Oh, Brother Donnie made it. There he is. If I ain't bride, I ain't worthy being bride. No how. I ain't good enough to be bride. I'm not good enough for any grace, but I'll accept what he gives me. Notice Brother Bram says the Bible said that God raised up communism to get revenge upon the nations for what they've done to the children of God. Again, he says, we see today as the churches and the denominations and so forth turning down the Word of God. They don't want you to tell them about these things. Science can prove it by pictures and everything else. And they still want nothing to do with this. So communism is forming to destroy it. Just exactly like Titus did. And when did Titus come? 70 AD, when the Jewish dispensation was finished. Here we are at the Gentile dispensation. And what's raising up? Not Titus, communism. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. You know as well as I do, under Putin, they've got stronger and stronger, and America's weaker and weaker. They go out there and get closer to our Navy ships and fly over our airspace, and what do? Cow down in the corner like a bunch of chickens. Well, hallelujah. They've got an anointing. They've got an anointing. Oh, my. What is that anointing for? To drop bombs on this place. Glory be to God. They're not the only ones that's got an anointing. We've got an anointing too. Amen. Our anointing is not to compromise. Our anointing is to fly out of this world and have a body change. You see, this is what I find so wonderful in looking at this. This is not the bride. These are the guests. When you witness to people, oh, Brother Noni, shouldn't we witness to people? You should, as the Holy Ghost leads you. But keep in mind, you might be talking to a bride, or you might be talking to a guest. So that's the Holy Ghost to help you to know. Do you invite them into the house to be a part of the king's harem? can say that. Only God can say that. I'm glad nobody can say we're bride or not bride. Aren't you glad nobody can put you in, nobody put you out? Should we witness? Sure we should. Should we try to do everything we can? Absolutely. But it's not our place to make people bride. We cannot do it. And we do them a great disadvantage, and we try to sell them the message and they're not even saved. Well, praise the Lord. What good's it do to tell somebody God sent a prophet when they're not even saved? Notice again he said the Jews united themselves against Jesus as their Messiah. Therefore we see what happened. We see the same thing now. Communism uniting to destroy the church. After the church has united in the World Council of Churches trying to destroy the message. Those who are uniting by websites and forums and all that sort of thing, they got a denominational spirit on them. Trying to destroy the message, you'll never do it. You can spend all your life trying to destroy it, and when you're dead and buried, we'll still be going on. Why? It's not a man-made message. It's not a man from Kentucky somewhere. God ordained this word. What is it? It's the last call. It's the last call. Now watch, here comes a change. Notice what verse it is. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. That's the Jews now, when Jesus is speaking. But the same thought carries over in every church age and every feast day of the seven. In the apostolic day, they were turned. A terminating point come to where God no longer dealt with them. Oh God. Notice this in Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken. First been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Oh my. Now were there Jews that come in? Yes, one here, one there, one here, one there. But this was a change. Here come the Spirit of God now moving away from the Jewish nation. What was he dealing? It was no longer him pulling and pulling and pulling on them for guests. Now remember, there's two callings going on at the same time. They were preaching a bride message for a bride, and they were preaching a guest message for the guests. Why does that stumble people? You do the same thing every time you go to a wedding. Every time a wedding is done, there's a bridegroom and a bride, and there are guests. We would think it idiotic for every guest to be married to the bridegroom. We'd say, I've been to the strangest wedding I've ever been to in my life today. Every guest got married to the bridegroom. Besides all that, the bride wouldn't like it very well. Well, why is it we want to pick Jesus' bride for him and marry the whole church and the whole system and say they're all bride? They're not. This is the King himself. He ought to know. So what do y'all do when you go to a wedding and they have a registry outside? And they have that book laying there. Is it called the bride's book? Tell me. Guests. And you folks mean to tell me you go in there and sign your name on the guest book? You want them to know you were there, right? Because they may or may not know that you were there. So you put your name on the guest book. But when I marry them or some other minister marries them and sign the marriage license, your name ain't on that. Amen. They went to the courthouse and got the license, and it's got the name of the bridegroom and the name of the bride and the day they were born and where they live and all that sort of thing. And then I've got to verify it, and then my wife or whoever more witnesses that the same none of your names is on that marriage license. Yet your name is in the John 3:16 book. Or the whosoever will book. Or the guest book. And you know what? There's always more guests than there is bride. So if you've got a large wedding, say you've got 500 people that turn out, and there's 500 guests, that's friends and family, or 5,000 or 50,000, and there'll just be one bride. I hope somebody's seeing the picture tonight. Are they needful? They are. Do we love them? We do. Does God love them? He does. You see, if He would have spoke His children into existence only from the Lamb's Book of Life, there'd be no guest. It'd only be bride and bridegroom. So what'd He do? He made a way where they could come even though they were not part of His genos or His own kind. You imagine when the Jews heard this and they said, well, who does he think he is? A messenger from God. Notice now how Jesus changes in verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage or the feast. Now remember, they're not inviting them to be bride. They're inviting them to come and see the bride and the groom. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Both. Bad and good. This definitely ain't the bride. The bride's only made up of good folks. Which means everybody in Happy Valley ain't bride. Can't be. Or everybody in your church ain't bride. We got too many good and bad. But now this is the church as a whole. You understand? Jesus mixed these parables even in showing the net when the gospel is spread forth. There will come turtles. There will come snakes. There will come all kinds of things. But that's not who the bride is. Glory, the bride's identity in this parable is hid. Where? In Christ the Word. So the servants go out into the highways and gather together all as many as they found. Now listen how Jesus words it. He doesn't say they're called. Doesn't say they're predestinated. He just says they go out and gather as many as they can find. I want you to notice they are gathered as a group. Not as individuals with their names being called. Now, from this point on, the flight might be a little bumpy. So it is recommended by the captain that you buckle up your seatbelt and hold your tradition intact. Because we're fixing to soar in heavenly places. So I hope you've got on your joy shoes. Oh, you say joy shoes. Who ever heard of that? You're fixing to. Now, believer, have you got your joy shoes on? Amen. If you ain't got them on, change them real quick. Have you got your joy shoes on? Listen to this. If you are a Christian, if you are truly a God's child, the Bible said that no preacher, that's the Bible, it said your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Oh my, the same time that Christ, that God sent Christ to be slain, He wrote your name with His. Oh, hallelujah, we're not talking about you want to come, you want to come, you want to come. Listen, my brother, sister, you were not called as a group. You're not called as a church. You are called as an individual. And you are called not, well, whoever wants. wants to, whoever wants to. You are called by a specific name, and that name is part of the Word. Now we're talking about the bride. Oh, she's finally arrived. We get to see her. The same time that Christ, that God sent Christ to be slain, He wrote your name was His. And guess what? The devil's name ain't there. Brother Bram says, hallelujah. Now listen, you know what I don't understand is folks who say they believe this message, and when they hear quotes like this read, they put on their pouting lips. And you think they ought to have their shouting shoes on. Well, praise the Lord. Now he said, hallelujah, there you are. Your name is written. He said, all that he received, both great and small, were church members. Pretended Christians. He deceived all those whose names were not written in the church book, but in the Lamb's book of life. When? Before the foundation of the world. God wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life by His spoken word. Amen. This is why you're identified with the message of the hour. Amen. God spoke your word. God spoke your life. God spoke your name. How can one of these quickened members that's like this put a farm in front of God? Put a business or merchandise or cutting their hair or smoking or drinking? Totally impossible. Not saying the elect can't be bound. Not saying that the elect can't get in trouble. They can get in, but they will get out. If you're called of God, brother, you know, boy, though if I'm called, I can live however I want to. If you're called of God, you'll live holiness, brother. You'll live a consecrated life, and if you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Amen. Notice this. My God. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, God wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life by His spoken word. No wonder the spoken word is the original seed. Yes, and sent Christ a sacrifice to buy, to redeem that same group that He had wrote their name in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. No, devil, I ain't done. I got some more. The same God that before the foundation of the world called your name and wrote it on the Lamb's book of life. Don't you see, friend, it's not just wrote. God spoke you. Some of y'all must have left your shouting shoes at home. Oh my goodness, if this hits us right, oh, what will it do to us? Again, he said, now this morning, the Holy Spirit, through the words, bringing you the good news. Listen what the good news is. Amen. That from before the foundation of the world, God wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. Is this for the guests? No. Now, is this a message we're to take out here to the guests? It's not. We're speaking to the elect when we're speaking here. This is the whispers that the bride and the groom, you know, kind of do back and forth whenever special singing's going on. Y'all have seen me stand here many times, and I'm nervous as a hen on a hot rock. Because I'm standing right here and they're just talking back and forth and back and forth, and I'm trying to look this way and look that way. That's between them and them. You know what they're talking about. That's what's going on with them. It ain't none of your business. You're a guest. What they're talking about is between them. You're a guest. And I'm a preacher. It ain't really none of mine neither. Amen. But what's he doing? My, you think when the Lord Jesus had come to a spot and Judas pulled away from him, and then what do we find? St. John 13, 14, 15, 16. 16:17. Some of the most intimate gospel parts was said by the Lord Jesus to His disciples when Judas left. It was not for Judas' ears. It's not for the ears of the guests. It's for the bride and the bridegroom. It's for you. You're part of the marriage of the Lamb. And this morning, the Holy Spirit, through the words, bringing you the good news. Here's the good news. That from the foundation of the world, God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all the devils out of hell can't erase it. Glory! Brother Donnie, what about my mistakes and my failures? Repent of your mistakes! Little children, I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, which is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. No, God will not wink at your saying, you're allowed, I can do whatever I want to. You gotta live right. Think of this now. God wrote it and spoke it. Lord have mercy. Children, don't drag out your handkerchiefs. Drag out your shouting shoes. Some of y'all sitting there and you can't shout for crying. Lord have mercy. It's just as sure to happen as God wrote it in there before the foundation of the world. Amen. How glorious our Heavenly Father is in His infinite love and mercy to do that for us. Then be ye therefore perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. How can you be? When it's not my perfection, it's not your perfection, it's His perfection of the Word. Then He chose you. You never. You never chose Him. He brought you into Christ. You are secure with Jesus Christ and just as perfect as Christ was before God. Oh, hallelujah. Not the guest, the bride. The bride. Hallelujah. You're not called like them without a name. You're called by your name. Can I go a bit farther? Notice, not only Christ was slain to take away sin, but your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God wrote your name associated with His. Before the foundation of the world. Now, Satan, make them get scared now. Oh, my. Now, Satan, make them get scared now. Don't you see what that does? If we can see who we really are, it takes the fear away. It takes the fear of failure, the fear of falling short. Now, Satan, make them get scared. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Before the world ever began, God called your name. Children, whether or not you can understand it, the elect are spoken word. Historians say the first book of the New Testament that was probably written was the book of James. Read around 59 to 60 A.D. Which means that the apostles preached for almost 30 years without a written New Testament. The book of Acts was written by Luke, the physician. Which was written around 65 A.D. The book of Luke was written around 62. Matthew 60, 61. Mark, same time frame. What in the world did they preach? You mean they didn't have a New Testament to take a text out of? Well, it depends on how you look at that. Let the government take our Bibles. Let them take away our tapes. Let them take away our books. They'll never take away our Word. Oh! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Why, we are God's thoughts. God spoke our name. God spoke our word. God called your name, you Christians, and wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever started, saith the Bible. That's God's word. He spoke back there and revealed through his servants, the prophets. And we're enjoying the blessings of resting and waiting upon the coming of the Lord. Was y'all okay with those?
That's
good. Good. Now here comes the atomic bomb. I thought my gray hair was going to turn brown today when I read this. Lord Jesus, there was one time before the foundation of the world, I was eternal. When God thought of me, I was thought of before the foundation of the world, and my name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yours was about to turn my hair brown. And so was yours. Before there was even one grain of sand. How many knows that's the Bible? This is not Brother Branham's opinion. That's the Bible. How many know that God put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world? Then in God's thinking, we were born right then into His kingdom. Does that mean I don't need to be saved? That ain't what he said. You was born into his kingdom and his thinking. One day there come a body through a holy wedlock. My father and mother, they sired me. And here I come, William Branham, represented in a body of flesh. Now you know me, glory to God. You know me as William Branham, a man. God knowed me as William Branham, a thought in his own mind and expression. What is a word? Is a word of thought express when he spoke and said, let him come. I come. And when he says, let him come again, I'll come again. Your mom and daddy wasn't the only one that had something to do with your natural birth. God spoke up there in heaven. Maybe just a few seconds or a few moments before you was born. And said, let him come. And though death may take this body, cancer, TB, automobile accident, whatever more, but the same voice of God will call again. Let him come again. Glory to God. You see, it's the same way with the little girl in Jairus' home when she was dead. The prophet said he knew she had eternal life. So he called her into existence at the beginning. And when she died, he called her again. And very few people on the earth ever get to have a double resurrection, but she's one of them. He knew who Lazarus was when he was out yonder roaming somewhere in the spirit world. And he called Lazarus again. And before long, he's going to call Lazarus a second time. Why? Because he spoke Lazarus' name. This is part of being the bride. She gets to dress up in the fancy dress. She gets to pick out all the colors unless her mama dominates it. I'm only saying that from experience. She's the one who gets to cut the cake with the groom. You ever notice in a wedding, when the groom comes out, if it's here, and me and him and the best man walk out, y'all never stand and salute and bow, here comes the groom, here comes the groom. Y'all just sit there and look. And he comes out and walks out. Poor guy just stands there shaking like a leaf. While everybody else comes out,
And all of a sudden, dun dun da da, dun dun da da, dun dun da da, here comes the bride. What do y'all do? Hurry up and get this over with. Good night. What do y'all do? Over and over again, you've done this. You turn and look. And all the sisters that ain't married, oh, it's me, it's me. And all of you that are married and got a bad marriage, you say, oh, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. But all eyes are on who? You mean to tell me that you folks don't get offended by that when you're just guests? You accept that position and you're all right with it. Let me tell you something. The tens of millions of people that will live outside the bride city in the eighth day, there won't be a one of them sad. There won't be a one of them feel like they got robbed and depleted. There won't be a one of them with their head all hung down. Oh my, come on children. This idea, there's going to be sad folks in heaven and my, you didn't do this and didn't do that. I want you to prove that to me from the scripture and the message of the hour. Oh, you say, I've made so many mistakes. Have you? No doubt you have. But have you made as many as Adam? Tell me what Adam ever done to make reconciliation for the sin he brought on us. Tell me what reward he'll have. When Adam stands before God and be rewarded according to his works, tell me what he'll get if it's by works alone. Tell me what the thief of the cross will get. You think Adam's going to go down to eternity with his head all hung down? Who are you? I'm Adam. What a wash away your shame. The blood of the bridegroom. Don't tell me I'm going to walk to heaven with my head all hung down thousands of years and sad. That's not my heaven, brother, sister. When the prophet of God saw them people going beyond the curtain of time, I don't see one of them that was standing there all sad and wore out. They were rejoicing and leaping and praising God. Brother Branham said, I'm not going to my reward of what I've done. I'm going to my reward, which he purchased for me. Let me close. What is a word? A word is a thought expressed. When he spoke and said, let him come, I come. When he says, let him come again, I'll come again. Yes, sir, it's a thought. A word is a thought expressed. God already gave the word. Only thing he was thought was, he expressed it. When he expressed it, it happens. Let there be and there was. There's God, the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty Jehovah. So if he spoke and said, let there be light, and there was. What if he said, let there be Donnie? You just better be glad he didn't say, let there be billions of Donnies. If he had said it, the whole earth would have been full of Donnies. Oh, Lord, help us. I ain't just glad about that. I'm glad he didn't make billions of you. He makes one of each of us, thank the Lord. Let me close. Verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find. So you mean we're basing the attendance upon the faithfulness of the servant. Can you imagine the bride being based upon the faithfulness of preachers? And your faithfulness and mine. The bride is based upon his faithfulness. You love him. Oh my. Notice in Zephaniah 1:7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's children and all of such as are clothed with strange apparel. You see, we're going into this parable in Matthew, and Jesus gives us an example of a man who's come
and he doesn't have a wedding garment on. The wedding garment was provided by the king himself. Isn't it amazing? Nobody else ever even noticed that, just the king. He was sitting right there rest among them, among the rest of them, and they didn't even notice it, apparently. But the king says, "Friend, how come you come in here without a wedding garment on?" He ain't talking to bride. He's talking to foolish virgins. Gentile remnant. Your garment shows up in Revelation 19:9. Let us be glad and make merry, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Come buy of me fine linen, clean and white. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. Won't you love him with all your hearts? You know, I trust each of us tonight are his elect. I hope and pray and trust that we are. But you know, when Abraham was praying for Abraham, for Lot rather, and interceding for Lot, he never interceded that Lot would become a silver dollar. He prayed that God would save him and give him mercy. Sarah, her husband, had a covenant with God. She laughed at God's face and called God a liar. But God couldn't kill her because her husband had a covenant. Lot's wife heard her grandchildren burning in Sodom. The prophet said she could hear her grandchildren screaming. And she simply turned around. And when she turned around, God turned her to a pillar of salt. She turned back from behind her husband, her head. Why wouldn't God spare her? Her husband had no covenant. Sarah laughed at God and called him a liar to his face. But God couldn't kill Sarah without touching Abraham. How many times have we failed God? How many mistakes have we made? How many failures? Why don't God take our lives? Our husband has a covenant. The Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Maybe if there's one here tonight, I know this is unusual, really. You don't hear of too many altar calls being made anymore, because it seems the Spirit of God is dealing more with the bride of getting her ready. But if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know the Lord, you've not made peace with Him. Or maybe you've had a profession, but things have got in your life, things that's hindering you. And that can be so even if you're elect. Because this old flesh of ours gets in our way. It does. You'd like to be remembered tonight. As a matter of fact, the altar is open. If you'd like to come and pray, we'll certainly come and pray for you, pray with you. If the Spirit of God strikes you there in your seat, you can certainly make peace with Him right there. But if you need assistance and help, we offer that to you. We want to fulfill our Father's commission faithfully. And if tonight I have went out to the highways and the hedges, I have beat the bushes, as we would say, then so be it. I know a lot of message preachers think they're too good to preach to other than the elect. Jesus didn't think he was too good. Amen. Brother Branham certainly didn't think he was too good. God help me, I never get to that stuck up place. I'll tell you one thing, if I could preach to foolish virgin and get them saved, oh my, what a reward that would be. Their name associated with mine all down through eternity. What if we could get one, five, 50, 500, whatever it would be? It would be a great thing to me. We know the scripture tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If He feels that way, shouldn't we feel the same way if we have His heart?
You see, David was a man after God's own heart. I don't want just God's word. I want God's heart. I want to feel. I want to love. I want to think. Paul, talking about Timothy in the New Testament, he's talking about the preachers. I read it to Carol the other day. It just broke my heart. Paul said that all men seek their own. Here he was talking about the preachers. The younger preachers in that first age had already started building their own kingdom. And Paul said, all men seek their own. They want their ministry to be this and their ministry to be that. And it's, they say it's about Christ, but in reality it's not. But Paul said, Timothy is my son in the gospel. And he said, I have none that's as like-minded as he is, and the word is one soul. These other men had the word too. As a matter of fact, you remember Paul saying it, that some preach Christ of contention, thinking to add to my bonds. Can you imagine a preacher preaching Christ with the purpose of adding a load to another man of God? Oh my. What is it, friends? When guests intermingle with the elect and feed at the table, and they go to calling themselves by the bride, it never works out right. How blessed you are tonight if you have an ear to hear. Would you like to be remembered before the Lord? Would you just raise your hand? Amen. Maybe some of you believers tonight, maybe you need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, a renewing. What about some of you believers? You feel that way? Amen. Just a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I got my hands up too. Amen. Let's just pray together, can we? Heavenly Father, I know this has not been very deep tonight. And I know I'm not a deep preacher in the first place, but this is what you placed upon my heart. And Lord, you know, I thought I was ready for the service tonight until early this morning. Lord, when you woke me up and put this on my heart, so I've delivered it now, Lord. With my limited ability, I've done the best that I could do. And I know it's not much compared to other preachers, brothers that are here, even tonight in this service. But I pray, Lord, that you would take it and help each of us, Father. Lord, I believe I'm bride. I believe I'm elect. But it don't make me to where that I want to do wrong. As a matter of fact, if I do do anything or say anything that I feel displeases you, it breaks my heart, Lord. Help us as your children to behave as people of quality and character. Lord, we want to do everything we can for the kingdom. For you gave us this parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who gave a marriage for his son. So we know the guests are part of the kingdom. For years, Lord, we've given the guests bride privileges. And sad to say, we took away bride privileges from her and give her guest privileges. Help us to get these things sorted out, Father, that each of us can find our proper place in the will. The bride's place in the will is she has eternal life now, eternal security. The church can lose her salvation and be lost. But the elect have eternal security. Not because they're given eternal security now. The reason they're eternally secure is because they came from the eternal secure one. Hallelujah. They were in that circle of eternity and they dropped down in that little block of time. But while they were here, they were in no danger of losing their security. Because you spoke their name, their word. Lord, we're not selfish. We want to reach out to others. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us tonight, Father. May we not be slothful. May we not put our farms, our houses, our lands, anything before you, Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father, that you'll be the preeminent power and force in our lives. Lord, if there's any here tonight that's not made peace with you, that's lost or backslidden, may the Spirit of God help them. May they realize what they've heard tonight when they walk out them doors. One more time, the King has sent a messenger. And they have heard the invitation to come. They will not walk out of here the same. And Lord, we're not trying to scare them. That won't do any good. But show them the urgency of the hour and that they are responsible. The same with us believers.
Lord, if there's believers here and they're toying with sins in their lives and things, Lord, they're visiting websites and some of these kids, Lord, they're getting on this site and that site and another site and website dating and this and that. Help them, I pray, God, to realize them demons on the internet are there lurking and luring around trying to pull them off, Father. Lord God, I pray for our young people around the message, Lord. Oh, Lord, pray for them, Father, that you would help them. Each one of them, most all of them, carrying a smartphone, and they have access to every depth of sin right there in their pocket or their purse. Help them, Lord. Keep them, I pray, from the darkness of this age, Lord. Truly, they named it well, World Wide Web. It can be a web in which a spider pulls people into it, Lord, sends its poison into them if they do not know how to handle it. Help us, I pray, Lord God. We'd be better off, Father, to have an online, just an old screaming telephone or whatever more. Oh, God, to have victory in our lives, to be all modern and up to date and know peace, Lord. Help us tonight, blessed God, I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King now? Oh, praise God. Now remember, it's not my place or your place to say, this one's bride, this one's guest. Just leave all that alone. I learned a long time ago, we don't have no ability to do that, no way. Just let God do the sorting. Let's just be what God's made us to be. And let's do what God's called us to do to help others along the way. Don't you want to be a better Christian for Him? More consecrated to His cause, to the cause of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Hey, sing something. Let's worship Him together just a little bit before we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise your name, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Let it be your prayer tonight. Let it fade away. Let's worship Him now as we sing together.
I desire to worship and obey.
Everybody.
Desire to
Somebody's got a need in your body tonight. Would you just raise your hand or your life, your walk with God? Maybe it's a father, a mother, a child. Look at all these hundreds and hundreds of needs. Now, there's no way I can be able to get in there and pray for all of you. But I want you as believers to lay your hands on one another. You know what's in you tonight? Dynamic power of God. The power that created the universe. If you've got the Holy Ghost that's living in you tonight. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I want you to pray for that brother, sister that you got your hand on there. They have a need, a request. Heavenly Father, as your children, we join together. Our will says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. Our will also says, if any two on earth agree is touching anything, it shall be done. Our will also says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we have our hands laid one upon the other tonight. All across this building. Lord, those that are streaming the service, no matter where they are, what their needs are, may the Spirit of God go to them as well. Lord, some sick, maybe a lost husband or wife or a son or a daughter. Lord, they need a financial move in their life. We believe you still do these things, Lord. I pray for your children. Oh, Lamb of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the presence of God move for your people. May our faith rise above our circumstance, Lord. May we realize that these difficult times are only opportunities by which faith can display itself. Lord Jesus, heal the sick. Oh, hallelujah. May they realize tonight, it's already been done. If their faith can rise to that level, Satan, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of God's children. You have no claim on us. We belong to God. Our names is on his book. Our lives belong to him. Our heart, our soul, everything about us belongs to Jesus. We are not yours no more, devil. Take your hand off of God's property. In the name of Jesus, you demons of oppression, you demons of lust, you demons of homosexuality and adultery and addiction, in the name of Jesus, leave God's people. You have no hold on us, Satan. In Jesus' name, go away from the children of God. Glory! Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Brother Jack Duff, you still here, brother? Maybe you can come and sing that song for us again. I love to tell him, talk about how big he is, don't you? How wonderful and how great his power is. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on now. It's just a little bit 4:09. The folks down at the bar, they ain't even got their third or fourth drink now. Amen. If they can do it for the devil, they're going to get up in the morning with a pounding headache. You might get up in the morning. It might be your last day on earth as a mortal. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us, my brother. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God created on any mortal man. You are not a God. Anything you can give by your, that's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone. For a time you get, hey, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Oh, and right now, in the good times and bad, hey, you are on your throne. Because, say, you are God alone. Oh, time. praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy.
Thank
of
God.
Everything you can give. You are God. Come on. And that's just the way it is. Hey, you are God alone. The fourth time you can. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, right now. Right now with a good time to be back. He's unshakable. He's unstoppable. That's what you are. Glory. Yes, you're unchangeable. Thank you. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Come on, you're unchangeable. You're unshakable. Unstoppable.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much tonight. Thank you for your grace, this awesome presence. We love you, Lord. You're awesome in this place, mighty God. We worship you. We adore you, great Adonai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May you go with us now, Lord, as we leave from this place. May the presence of God be with every heart. Hallelujah. Keep us till that great time comes, Lord. When once again you will call our names. Hallelujah. Next time it won't be to be immortal, but to be immortal. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, go with your children now, we pray. Brother David Sider leaving, Lord. Early in the morning, early, it'll be in Murfreesboro tomorrow. Be with him, Brother Jack and his wife. Others may be leaving. Maybe you watch over them, protect them. May the angels of God go be with them, we pray, Lord. Hallelujah.
How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to be around in the morning. We'll be gathering here again around 11 o'clock. We'd like to have you if you're welcome to come. God bless you. Go in the fear of God.
You are awesome in this place. My God,
you are awesome in this place,
Father.
You
are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. In this place, mighty God, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. In this place, oh mighty God, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Lord, let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshiper. I'll surrender.
In the Lord from this time on and forevermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Oh, I said my hope.
Yes, my hope.
Yes, it's in. My God is awesome. Yes, He is awesome. I said He's awesome. Oh, He's awesome.
He's awesome.
My God is awesome. I said He's all. Oh, He's all. Your God is awesome. He's awesome.
He is awesome.
I said He's awesome.
My God is awesome.
Yes, all. Our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. He can move the mountains. Keep me in the valley and hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Jehovah, You're awesome. My God is awesome.
grow. Give strength where I've been weak. Forever He will reign. Savior, I said He's my Savior. You hear me? He's my Savior. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broke. He gives me strength where I've been weak. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God is awesome. This battlefield for my Lord. I said I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised Him that I'm going to serve Him till I die. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I said I'm on the battlefield. Bound for the promised land, I have the grace of God upon me and my Bible in my hand. While in distant lands I trod, crying to the servants and the bride, come to God. Well, I'm on the battle board. Oh, yes, I said. Yes, I'm on the battlefield.
just him and I.
If you can go home, we're going to dismiss you again. Sing this as we go. With glory, glory, glory,
somebody touch me.
I say glory, glory,
glory.
Oh, somebody touch me.
Well, glory, glory, glory,
somebody touch me. Well, it must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, now while I was praying,
somebody touched me.
Oh, oh, hallelujah.
Somebody touched me.
Now while I was praying,
somebody touched me. I know
fitting tonight than end it with this. I give myself away. Trust that's your desire.
I give myself away. I give myself away
so that you can use me.
Give myself away.
I give myself away.
So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away.
Lord,
so you can use me.
Let this be our prayer as we go.
I give myself.
All I want is you to use me.
Can you use me?
Give myself away.
I give myself away.
Give myself away.
So you.
You're dismissed for the second time.
Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires and your life revealed. Yeah. I give myself.